Blog Talk Radio.
Understanding of what kingdom ministry is about.
Okay. Mark 1:14.
Mark 1:15 says, "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news."
Okay, we open for discussion for scripture for Mark 15. I'm sorry. We're also going to be discussing Mark 14. We're discussing Mark 14 and 15. And it says that the kingdom of God is near. Dr. Suzanne, how does that speak to your spirit?
Okay, I'm going to read that again. Mark 1, you say 14 and 15?
14 and
15. Okay, Mark 1, 14 and 15. You hear my pages turning. 14 and 15. In the Living Bible, later on, after John was arrested by King Herod, Jesus went to Galilee to preach God's good news. And at last, the time has come here now. God's kingdom is near. Turn from your sins and act on this glorious news. I believe that, like we started off, what does it mean, kingdom ministry? What is our understanding of kingdom ministry? And the Lord was telling us, the Lord Jesus Christ was telling us, that this is the time. This is the time. At last it had come. Then it goes back to our discussion on covenant, that over the year, you know, over time, over the different covenants, over the generations, and the different covenants that had been made and broken and so forth, that at last it had come, the last and the final, the new covenant had come.
Amen. Now, when I look at this, I piggyback off on what you're saying, when I look at it in terms of that John baptized and preached repentance for the remissions of sin, I see that as almost preparing the way, you know, for Jesus at that time. And when we look at repentance, you know, that is almost like the remissions, you know, of sin. You're asking for forgiveness or something, you know, that you have done or we have done against God, and we're asking and believing that God is going to purify, you know, our hearts when we do ask for forgiveness or, you know, for we repent, you know, for that. There is a scripture, you know, a reference scripture. You know, I looked at the scripture, and it's John 3:1. And what John was doing was just preparing the way for Jesus at this time. And basically, that's what John was speaking of, you know, when he baptized them. He baptized them and then asked them to repent of their sins. And John 3:1, if we could just look at that as a reference.
John 3:1 reads, "After dark one night, a Jewish religious leader named Nicodemus, a member of the sect of the Pharisees, came for an interview with Jesus. 'Sir,' he said, 'we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miracles are proof enough of this.'"
And just looking at that, Jesus, although that John was baptizing in the wilderness and preaching repentance, Jesus, he was preparing the way for Jesus. And even at this time, the reference speaks of Nicodemus. When Nicodemus saw Jesus at that time, he was asking, well, actually, when we really break it down, Nicodemus, he was a member of a Jewish council. You know, he was of very importance, but even at that time, he was asking, what must I do to, you know, to be born again? And Jesus was teaching him at that time, and that's why Nicodemus was, you know, so important at that time. Even with John the Baptist, you know, he was taught spiritually, you know, through Jesus and preparing the way. And you know, when Nicodemus came, it was the same thing, you know, what Jesus was saying, that in order for you to enter the kingdom of heaven, you know, you have to be born again. So, you know, that's, you know, almost a synonymous with looking at the idea of, in order for anyone to be saved, that they have to be born again, being baptized and repenting of our sins. And that's, you know, that's why the reference was, you know, John 3:1, you know, even with Nicodemus, as powerful as he was, he could not buy his way, you know, into the kingdom. You know, there had to be steps that had to be taken during that time. And when I look at, you know, also we look at Luke 3:3, and although that, you know, we're looking at these references, we're still talking about Mark 14:15, but we're just using references that that speaks of, you know, this particular chapter also. Luke 3:3.
Luke 3:3 reads, in the Living Bible, then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had turned to God and away from their sin in order to be forgiven.
And here, you know, we're looking at, in Mark, we talked about John did baptize in the wilderness and preached a baptism and repentance. And in Luke 3:3, it speaks, you know, almost the same thing. John, the Baptist, he was preparing the way for Jesus Christ. You know, he went to the country, you know, all around Jordan, preaching of baptism and repentance.
For remission of sin.
For the forgiveness of our sins. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And when I look at that, and it was a thing, you know, as I was studying the scripture, and there was a question that came, you know, to my mind. And the question was, has your hunger for God ever been misunderstood by your family? Has your hunger for God ever been misunderstood by your family? And that was a question, Mark, that I thought about as I was studying scriptures. You know, and, you know, oftentimes when you become hungry for the Lord, people do not, you know, especially in the family, they don't understand what you're doing. And I think about in terms of John the Baptist and what he was doing, going to the wilderness, and all that he was doing, you know, I'm wondering how his family thought about him. He had a hunger for God, but did they understand what he was doing?
I know that for me, I received Christ as a teenager, but I was not truly born again until I was an adult. So truly, I received Christ. I believe that Jesus was my, you know, had died for me. I believed in Christ. But I didn't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I didn't understand being born again. So I was baptized. I was received in church, so forth, as a teenager. But as an adult, that's when it began to change, when I began when there was a hunger and a thirst for the face of God, and I received the Holy Spirit, and I became interested in the teachings of Jesus, really wanting to understand, a deeper understanding. And although my family was Christian, they didn't understand where I was going with. And some of them thought that maybe I was going off the deep end, or maybe I was heavy involved with a cult or so forth, and wanted to know more about it. I think that as time went on and they saw that I did change, it wasn't a phase. It wasn't that I was serious about the Lord, serious about the teachings of God. I think that they understood more and began to believe me and trust that I was being, that I was earnest about my feelings about God. They saw that I didn't, that I really didn't waver, not that I was perfect and not that I am perfect now, but they see that I'm interested in things, God, that I'm still growing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the things that really, really spoke to my family was that in times of crisis, just like I may have said last week, people generally know who to call to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And especially after my grandmother had passed, many of the family members would call me, call both of us and family that are safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew, and I became in that group of the ones that were safe. So you know your family is looking at you, but just like Jesus did, you know, a prophet in their own city, you know, it's like it's difficult for them to see you as anything else than the child or the person that you work for. So sometimes it's easier to minister to those who haven't known you over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back to family. I know that once we were praying for someone that was ill, right? It's just that we keep praise and worship music playing. And one of the family members said that they didn't really want to hear any more Jesus. And there was a protest by someone else in the family saying, no, we're listening to this. It works, prayer works, and this is what we're playing. You know, this is what we're listening to. And so everyone else kind of, you know, came up for. But yeah, family, sometimes you have to, they're the people that you really have to sell with yourself to. And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's almost like when I think about during Jesus' time period where he lived, did not accept him because they knew him, you know, as that man. They didn't see all the things that he was going to do, you know, for the world. They didn't recognize that. They just saw him, you know, as a man. And so it's kind of hard for them to recognize by he being the Messiah at that time. And I almost think, you know, it's almost like with us, you know, those who sell out for Christ, many cannot understand, you know, why you're going to that depth of bar. They're looking at who they know or who they knew before you began, you know, to start ministering, you know, for God. They're still looking at that old side, that flesh, as opposed to seeing that spiritual change in our lives. It's, you know, there's a question, you know, that I always really ask and something just to think about is, how do you maintain a healthy balance between your daily responsibility and serving God? How do you maintain a healthy balance between your daily responsibility and serving God? That's just a question that I threw out there for you listeners, just to, you know, just to think about, you know, when you sell off of God, how do you maintain that? You know, you got all these responsibilities in your life that pull you away or draw you away from what God really wants you to do. You know, so what is it that you do to maintain that balance?
I think that a lot of times, there are when we become saved, if we believe that sometimes in our legalism or our Christianese, we think that we need to be at the church every time the church doors open, that we need to do this, that, the other, God. But God is telling you that God has once balanced us. And there are ways that we can make that we minister, even in your home. Your first ministry is your
home. Amen.
Your first ministry is the people that are in your house. In your house, your marriage is your ministry.
Amen.
Your children are your ministry. And then you go out beyond that. So sometimes people neglect home, especially will neglect home and family for a ministry, thinking that they're doing God's will. And actually, that's out of order. So we need to pray and truly ask ourselves, is this what God wants us to do? See, the Lord wants you to have a relationship with Him. He doesn't want us to go about doing things and keeping ourselves busy with stuff that we're supposed to, that we think we're supposed to do that'll make us super Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be obedient. Do you have your sanctuary? Do you have your Sabbath? Are you honoring the Sabbath? Spending time with the Lord. Not necessarily Sunday, but do you spend time with the Lord? Do you have your sacred place, your secret place, your place that you can spend with the Lord, your shoes with the Lord? Do you have a day that's set aside to be with God? That's the point. We're simply not supposed to do that. But we fill up our days. So, for this, I mean, just to hear from God. So, if you're timing yourself on how long you pray, and you're running as fast as you can because you've got to get up at 5 and I have to pray for so many hours at 5, and then I have to go and do this, and I have to read so many scriptures to do this, and very legalistic with those things. I really don't believe. I really don't believe, and someone may want to correct me if they feel like an error, and someone may want to write in on the chat. I'm waiting for you to send me a message on chat in disagreement with me, but I truly believe that God's yoke is easy, that we're supposed to enjoy our time as a Christian. We're supposed to enjoy this time on earth. We're supposed to enjoy being in relationship with one another and enjoy being in relationship with Him. Where's the joy of the Lord? He's supposed to enjoy it. He gave us one another to enjoy. He gave us one another to minister to one another and to minister to Him. So that's those are my feelings, and I hope I answered your question. I wonder if we have a listener in the 216 area, and I'm going to surprise he or she, and I'm putting you on live, and I'd like to know, area code 216, do you have anything to add? 216?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not speaking to me today. That's okay. Please continue to listen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, as we move on, we are, the scripture we are at, Matthew 3, 1 and 2. 3, 1.
Matthew, I had the wrong one. Did you want me to read? Okay. Matthew 3, 1 in the Living Bible. While they were living in Nazareth, John the Baptist began preaching out in Judean wilderness. His constant theme was, turn from your sins, turn to God. For the kingdom of heaven is coming soon. Isaiah the prophet had told about John's ministry centuries before. He had written, I hear a shout from the wilderness. Prepare a road for the Lord. Straighten out the path where he will walk. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Looking at that scripture in mind, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And I'd like to just break it down like that. When I look at the scripture, in those days, well, I would say in those days, at this time, in those days, when we look at it, you know, John was only 6 months older than Christ at that time. And I'm looking at it, you know, looking at it and saying in those days, you know, being that John was only 6 months older than Christ, you know, possibly, you know, that was the time that Jesus dwelt in Nazareth. But he said in those days, that's when John was preaching, that, you know, Jesus dwelt in Nazareth.
Thanks.
You know, just kind of breaking it down and just looking at it.
That these were the days, these were literally the days that the Messiah was here. John was saying they had been looking for the Messiah and waiting for the Messiah. So John is telling that the time has come, it's right now, that it's coming soon, for the kingdom of heaven is coming soon. It's in these days. And Isaiah had spoke about it in Isaiah 43, which reads, "Listen, I hear the voice of someone shouting, make a road for the Lord through the wilderness, make him a straight, smooth road through the desert."
Mm-hmm.
So through the dry places, through the crooked places, through the places where you can't see, that he's coming through. He's coming through and he's going to straighten it all out.
Amen.
And here's John saying what Isaiah had said literally years, hundreds and hundreds of years prior to. So although we waited for it to come to pass, it did come to pass, and here it is. Isaiah's own word.
Hmm. Yeah. Looking at 3:2, my scripture says, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when I look at the word repent, and just breaking that down in terms of definition, that implies that someone, you know, that is sorry for the past or for their offenses, you know, or something, and as I said earlier, something that was done wrong. It's almost like a godly sorrow that brings repentance, but it also leads to salvation when there is a repentance, you know, and it leaves no regret. No regret.
Before we move on, could I see it? Look here, it's area code 631. We'd like to add something. Area code 631, are you there? Area code 631, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, but I don't want to add anything at the moment. God bless everyone.
Sorry, could you repeat that again?
No, I don't want to add anything right now, but God bless everyone. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm just listening.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. I want to remind you that we are in the beginning of ministry, and our mission here on Blog Talk Radio is to present a Christian interactive virtual Bible study committed to exploring the Word of God for real-life guidance and application through discussion using the Word of God for instruction.
Mm-hmm. And we're still looking at Matthew 3, 1 and 2. And we were talking about in those days, in the time that John the Baptist was preaching and preparing the way for Jesus Christ, and what he was looking for was for them to understand that they must repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we were looking at breaking it down in terms of repent, and that was, you know, something that you were sorry for, a past offense that you may have had, you know, a godly sorrow that brings, you know, that leads to salvation, and leads to salvation, but with no regrets. So when someone is repenting, they're repenting because they believe, you know, in what they're saying. So there are no regrets. It's not like you say something and then you wish that you had never said it before, that you had never asked for forgiveness from God. You know, look at that later on. It's a pure heart, you know, knowing that once, you know, God or the Spirit, you know, is in you, or you have asked for forgiveness, that we're believing that we have been forgiven. Amen. There is no doubt. There is no other side where we're wondering, well, did he or did he not? When we ask, God does honor that. So, you know, we're asking for, you know, anything that we've done in our past, we're asking for forgiveness. And it also states, you know, that a worldly sorrow does bring death. If we look at Psalms just as a reference, a scripture reference, Psalms 51:4, if we could look at Psalms 51:4 and just see what that says. And this is all in reference to Matthew 3:1 and 2.
Amen. Psalm 51:4 says, "It is against you and you alone I stand and do this terrible thing. You saw it all, and your sentence against me is just." This was written after Nathan the prophet had come to inform David of God's judgment against him because of his adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah, her husband.
Amen. Yeah, so even in 51:4, you know, the psalmist is speaking, you know, that you know, where there was sin that was done, and it's speaking of, you know, evil that was in the sight of the Lord. And when you speak, that you're justified when you judge. You know, you're asking God for forgiveness. So whatever comes out of our mouth, or whatever we ask God for, you know, God is a forgiving God.
But we also need to remember, just like in here where David went before the Lord, after the prophet Nathan spoke of this, he asked for forgiveness, he asked to be free, and he knew that there was going to be a conflict, and that our God is just, that he's fair, that he would be forgiven. He knew that there was a conflict. Yeah. In the beginning of 51, it says, "Oh, loving and kind God, have mercy. Have pity upon me and take away the awful stain of my transgression. Oh, wash me. Cleanse me from this guilt. Let me be pure again, for I admit my shameful deed. It haunts me day and night. It is against you and you alone I sin, and this is terrible thing. You saw it all, and your sentence against me is just. But I was born a sinner, yet from the moment my mother conceived me. You deserve honesty from the heart, yes, utter sincerity and truthfulness. Oh, give me this wisdom. Sprinkle me with the cleansing blood, and I shall be clean again. Wash me, and I shall be watered as well. And after you have punished me, give me back my joy again. Don't keep looking at my sin. Erase them from your sight. Create in me a new heart, clean heart, O God, filled with clean thoughts and right desires. Don't toss me aside, banished forever from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me again with the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to other sinners, and they, guilty like me, will repent and return to you. Don't sentence me to death. Oh, my God, you alone can rescue me. Then I will sing of her forgiveness, for my lips will be unsealed. Oh, how I will praise you. And this is such a great example of how the Lord wants us to do. We're supposed to praise him in everything.
Amen.
So we ask for forgiveness. We faith in faith, and knowing God's character, know that we will be forgiven. We know that our sins will be forgiven, that we will be cleansed. We understand that there is a judgment, that he's a just judge.
Amen.
And then we sing because it's sealed, and we dance in his forgiveness and God's grace. The Lord is such a loving, yes, there is such a loving Father. It's his grace that he gives us, and grace that he keeps.
Amen. And I think that's just beautiful when we can just look at, no matter what situation that we're in or going through, that we know that God is going to be with us. He's going to give us, you know, the comfort. And sometimes we can't, or we don't recognize that God is there. You know, so we pray, and then sometimes we feel it's almost like, well, God, I don't, you know, see any change. But God is doing things that we cannot even see.
Yeah.
You know, he's blessing us with things that are unseen.
Yeah.
You know, that's why faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen.
Yeah.
So God is working on our behalf all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there could be other things that could be going on or not ready to go on, and God is just put a halt to that.
Amen.
You know, and he's still, you know, tending, you know, to our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something to rejoice about, something to be joyful about. So I say to you, you know, to the listeners, no matter what state that you're in, no matter what may be
mm-hmm.
going on, if it's finances, if it's health, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is, God knows.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God knows. And God is always on our side.
Mm-hmm.
He's blessing us every day. He's blessing us every minute. So whatever state that we're going through, we know that we're going to come out of that storm.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to bring us out of that storm. But the thing that he wants us to do is he wants the glory. He wants the glory. He wants us to keep our mind stayed on him. He wants us to continually to bless him with our mouth daily,
mm-hmm.
in season as well as out of season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's all God wants us to do. He wants us to have a heart for him. So when we look at, you know, the kingdom message, there's a message every day when we wake up by what we see around us,
mm-hmm.
by those that come in our presence.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God just places something on a person's mind and then just comes just to give us a word of encouragement. So, you know, those are things just to rejoice about. Sometimes we just take all those things for granted. You know, we just take them for granted.
The kingdom.
Amen.
You're blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
There were all interesting relationships that he said, and not for so important. And our relationships are a blessing.
Amen.
They're interrelated, interdependent. We are not. God's message is a community.
Amen.
We have a couple more people that have joined us. Do you have anything to add to our discussion today? Rafael, do you have anything to add?
Well, I just want to first of all say this is Apostle Scott calling, and I'm just tuning in, but I love the subject matter, the kingdom ministry, because Again, the kingdom is what dispensation we're in. John the Baptist was a forerunner to Jesus, and his message was, and still being relayed today, you know, for us to repent and know that the kingdom of God is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And everything that we have need of has already been provided by the Father, because that's why he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that as
Amen.
We believe in him, we don't have to worry about perishing, but but have everlasting life. And so it is about the kingdom. I believe there's a shifting of the atmosphere from the church age transitioning into the kingdom age. And in the kingdom, we have a king, and he is the King of Kings. And again, Revelation 5:10 has called us kings and priests.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that in gender nature to the women, that they are queens and priests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, again, exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we walk in our authority and our dominion, then we have, again, we have all things possible because we do believe.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you so much for your comment. Is there anyone else who have any more comments? Thank you.
And it's just, you know, so wonderful that when we can come together and it doesn't make a difference where you are,
mm-hmm.
That we can all be on one accord, you know, and share the word of God. It's truly a blessing just to be able to share. And again, you know, as I look at all these area codes, it is truly a blessing. Some we hear and some we don't hear. Some are listening through the internet. And it's just a blessing just for you to even be a part of this. And this is just what God wants us to do, to come together and just to share a word of the Lord. So I do thank you for that. We are... I believe our next scripture that we are looking at is Matthew 4:17. And if, again, if you are on the internet, if you would like to call in and join in and, you know, share with our Bible discussion, you can call area code 347-237-4054. And your number will pop up and we can put you in. And you can share, you know, with what the Spirit is saying to you so that we can all be blessed.
Matthew 4:17 reads in the Living Bible, "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Turn from sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'"
We're right back to repenting, you know, as the apostle had said earlier, you know, in terms of repenting. We're right back to repenting. Matthew 14, everything is just pointing to repenting because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When I look at it in terms of repenting, you know, this is something that every preacher is commissioned by God to proclaim the salvation to a lost world. This is something that every minister does, is proclaiming the salvation to a lost world. You know, with preacher, there's that's the doctrine. Repentance.
Amen.
Repentance. As we look at here, repentance. And sometimes we tend to forget things that we do, that we know, that is not of God, and we tend to forget to ask for forgiveness.
You know what, in today's society, too, some things, the way that we're so accepting and tolerant of everything, some people don't even realize that their behaviors or actions are not of God. They think it's normal and so forth. But all of us are sinners.
Amen. Amen.
All of us are sinners. No one is without sin. We were born in
sin. Amen.
And should be.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, this was, you know, when I look at this was the case basically we talk about. You know, it happened with John, you know, the Baptist, you know, with Jesus Christ, all the apostles, and even all the professors, you know, after that. It was all about, you know, repentance. It was all about repentance. Amen. And I think that we cannot, you know, we should not forget that, you know, as we walk this journey, that we're always asking God, you know, to forgive us for our sins. Sometimes it does not have to be something that we do, it can be something that even that we think, that no one has even heard yet. But God, isn't that the beautiful part of it? God knows everything about us.
Amen.
So we can't hide nothing from God. You know, it's almost like Adam when he tried to hide from God. You can't hide from God. He knows our every thought. He knows our every, he knows everything that we're going to do even before we do it.
Yeah.
So why don't we just say, you know, Lord, forgive me.
Yeah.
Just forgive me. Forgive me for, you know, just my sinful thoughts. And all we can do is just try to be more like Christ. You know, and I just think that the word, you know, even what we're doing now, just, you know, in the word, just feeding off the word, you know, that we began to spiritually just grow. We spiritually grow, you know, again, as you mentioned before, you know, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. You know, nobody's perfect. None of us is perfect. You know, we have to always ask God for forgiveness. God honors that. God loves that. He wants us to come to him at any time, at any place, and ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to bless us abundantly. Abundantly.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen. Any comments from my listeners? Again, you know, for those that are, you know, internet, you can call 347-237-4054, and we will open up a line for you and hear what our Lord is speaking to you. And if you are on the internet, you can type in your question, and that will be read, and we can share it so that we all can, you know, just hear what you are saying, or how the Lord is speaking to you, and we can all bless by that as well. Amen. Okay, we are...
Hello, New York here.
Okay, New York?
Yes, Long Island.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise God. I just love your program. And I just wanted to share about the repentance and about how both John and Jesus talked about repentance and saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's like right there. We can't put off tomorrow what we need to do today. And a lot of people, that's what they do. They tend to say, well, I'll come when I get right, or I'll come when I make it right. But it never happens, because tomorrow's not ever promised to us.
Amen.
Tomorrow becomes today. And while the kingdom of God, while he's yet beckoning us, we should come now in repentance.
Amen.
And one thing I like about the Lord is that he never gives up on us.
Amen.
He reaches in his bowels of mercy. Each new day there's new mercies. Just to say repent. Just to say come unto me. And if you're laboring, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden. And the rest is in me. So the Lord, I'm just saying that he's wonderful. The good work that he starts in us, he will finish.
Amen.
Until
Amen.
The day of Jesus.
Amen. You know, and that's a good word, my sister. You know, when I think about that, it's like, why tarry? Why wait?
Yeah.
Why wait for the Lord?
Absolutely.
Why wait for the last minute? Why wait until there's an earthquake?
Right.
Why wait until catastrophe happens before we come to the Lord? Why not now? Why do we carry?
When you hear my voice, harden not your heart, God says. And that's what we're praying, that God will, as we're praying, that God will prepare their hearts to receive the word.
Amen.
So when the word does come to them, they will accept it. Actually,
Amen.
Accept Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. And you know, that's where we come in, my sister. You know, we are like John the Baptist. You know, we are out,
yes.
you know, preaching the Word and letting others know. You know, this is a lost world, a dark world, and we're going out and spreading the gospel and telling the good news and letting others know. That the kingdom of heaven is near. why wait? Why tarry? If you don't know the Lord, why wait until the last minute?
Mm-hmm.
Why not go ahead and be able to share the goodness of the Lord right now? I think about the scripture in Revelation. She says, though,
mm-hmm.
I stand at the door and knock.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All he wants to do is just come in so he can sup with us, so that he can be a part of our lives.
Right.
All, constantly knocking at our hearts, mm-hmm. Constantly knocking. And it's up to us. He has given us a choice to allow him to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, if you open up that door, then I'll come in and sup with you. Sup to mm-hmm. me means down. And when you think about someone that you're sitting down and eating with, it's someone.
Fellowship, yes.
Loves. Right, absolutely. Fellowship. Someone
yes.
that you're.
And that goes back to our covenant.
Mm.
Great
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
Why tarry? You know, and there are so many that think that they have time. There are so many that they have time. And that's what this scripture is just basically speaking about. You know, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Amen.
And that's the trick of the enemy, always putting that procrastination in the atmosphere, that, oh, I have tomorrow, or I'll have the next minute.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even promised. He's a cunning
Amen.
Adversary.
Amen. 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 But you know what? You know, greater is he
yeah.
that is than he that is in the world. So we are great in God's eyes.
Yeah.
We are powerful in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He has given us authority to be able to go out and overcome those things that are obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
He has given us that ability.
Amen. Amen.
Faith of a mustard seed, just a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know how size of a mustard seed, how small a mustard seed is. If you just have the faith of a mustard seed,
and at the end of the book, we win. We win. We win.
Yeah.
We win.
When you read ahead.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes it is good to turn to the end.
I mean, we have to do everything in between, but we win. We have overcome.
Amen.
Because Jesus has overcome.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sometimes cast down, but not destroyed.
Amen.
And we still rise.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Walk by faith and not by sight.
All right, all right.
Matthew 13:36-52 says, then leaving the crowd, outside, he went into the house. His disciples asked him to explain to them the illustration of the sickles and the wheat. All right, he said, I and the farmer who sows the choice seed. The field is the world, and the seed represents the people of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The thistles are the people belonging to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy who sows the thistle among the wheat is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels.
Mm-hmm.
If this is in the story, the thistles are separated and burned. So shall it be at the end of the world. I will send my angels, and they will separate out of the kingdom every temptation and all who are evil, and throw them into the furnace and burn them. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the godly shall shine as the sun in their father's kingdom. Let those with ears listen. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure a man discovered in a field. In his excitement, he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field and get the treasure, too. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. He discovered a real bargain, a pearl of great value, and sold everything he owned to purchase it. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a fisherman. He casts a net into the water and gathers in fish of every kind, valuable and worthless. And when the net is full, he drags it up onto the beach and sits down and sorts out the edible ones in the crate and throws the others away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the godly, casting the wicked into the fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand? Yes, they said, we do. Then he added, those experts in Jewish law, who are now my disciples, have double treasures from the Old Testament as well as from the New. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. My goodness. Praise God.
Any comments about the scriptures that I just read? Any comments from 330 or 631? We got a couple of 216 callers. But one thing I want to say is that in the proverb where he says I, he's talking about I, the Son of Man. He's referring to himself as the Son of Man. It's like, it's not like I'm telling a story, but the Son of Man is the farmer, that Jesus Jesus Christ, the God's Son, is the farmer that has planted the seed, the choice seed. Praise the Lord. And that the enemy has managed to plant thistles among this choice seed. So as we grow and we go out about our day-to-day lives, as we come up, we're being raised with those things that are the folks that are not of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the end that it'll be separated.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we as believers need to know, and as we as believers need to make sure that we don't get caught up in like the Pharisees and Sadducees did. In the law and being so pious is that we keep our hearts pure and keep God, Jesus Christ, as our focus, and that we keep our relationship with Christ as one that as one of integrity and honesty and so forth, as long as our relationship with one another, that we don't get caught up in legalism and religiosity, because that will make us just that as the Pharisees, and we would be thrown out with those thistles because we would have missed the point. Like we talked about Nicodemus earlier, Nicodemus knew all the law, but he didn't know how to come to Christ. He didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He didn't understand about the redemption and repentance of sin. So we could be like Nicodemus and so-called know everything but still miss everything, or we could be under this new covenant and come to Christ in spirit and in truth, repenting and asking for forgiveness, coming under the blood one final time. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I think that's just a powerful scripture that piece there, you know, it just talks about, you know, the end of age, you know, and as we go through this, as you said, you know, I look at it, you know, when I break it down in terms of those things that were sown, it says the good seed was the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stand for the kingdom, and the weeds stand for the evil, you know, all the things. But it talks about those weeds are going to be pulled up. Those weeds are going to be pulled up. And it is, you know, he emphasizes the end of age. You know, so you're so right in terms of, you know, your comment on it.
One thing at the end of this, in verse 52, it says, then he added, those experts in Jewish law who are now my disciples, remember that there were disciples that had become, that were Pharisees. Right now I can't think of which one, unfortunately. But there were Pharisees, and they knew the law. They knew the laws of the Old Testament. So they're saying, he's saying that they have a double blessing because they understand the covenants of the Old Testament, but they also know the New Testament with an exclamation point and a star right there, an asterisk, that they also know the New. So they have a double blessing because they know the Old Testament and the New, that they understand that that Jesus Christ coming is a shadow from the Old Testament, that it already had been foretold. If they knew the Old Testament, they knew the prophecies that had gone before the New Testament, saying that Jesus had come, that Jesus was coming, and what the signs were that they should expect to know that it was Jesus, what he would look like, what the times would be, what was going on. So everything was there. So Jesus is saying right here that those who are experts in Jewish law, who are now my disciples, have double treasures from the Old Testament as well as from the New. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is unto me, and you are unto me. That is a householder which brings one of the treasures being new and old. I hear a train in somebody's line, so I'm going to hold it for that just for 1 minute, and we're going to keep moving. Praise the Lord for that verse. Our next verse is Colossians 1:13. And Colossians 1:13 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So the Lord has rescued us from the things of Satan, from the dominion of darkness, from not knowing the things of God, from being hidden from God, from being plunged out from the Lord and the things of God. And God brought us into his marvelous life. Praise the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. That he engrafted us also, and although the Jewish people and the Pharisees didn't get it, I praise God for receiving his word, and I even accept and praise the Lord for the privilege of sharing his word until he comes. Praise God. Our next verse is Luke. Did you have something to add,
really quick? There's a Bible that I use. It's called, you know, the Serendipity Bible, and it just has questions that it has. There's both the scriptures, and as we were looking at, you know, the parables of the weeds and how it's explained, it has some questions here. It says, in what way can overzealous judgment of the world and its evil harm our missions as believers? Now, there are three questions here. That's number one. In what ways can overzealous judgment of the world and the evil harm our missions as believers? Where is the harvest field God has placed you? Where is the harvest field that God has placed you? Then number two, it says, where in your life or in your church have you seen faith like yeast or a mustard seed have a great impact? your life or in your church have you seen big like yeast or a mustard seed have a great impact? And then number three, it asks, it says, what accountability are you now feeling for yourself, for others, for God? And what are you hearing God call you to do as a result of this? You know, I just thought those were some good questions, you know, and it is always good for, you know, an evaluation process that, you know, ask no matter where we are in the ministry, studying the Word of God or on our journey, always evaluating where are we at this point in time. So I thought those were good, some good questions to look at and to ask. Any comments? Any comments? Again, those that are listening from internet, we thank you for being a part of this. You can also call 347-237-4054 and be a part of this Bible study discussion. Okay, we are going to move on to our next scripture, and that is Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13 is our next scripture, and we're going to wait and give everyone a time enough to locate the scripture. Colossians 1:13 is our next scripture. That's what we're looking at.
Colossians 1:13 again says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loved.
Amen. Amen.
Comment. Any comments? Lisa, do we hear from you? Lisa, are you there? Okay, let's keep moving.
Well, look at this. You know, look at Colossians. It says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And when I look at that, I think about the power that is exerted over us in a dark kingdom. And we all know, you know, that that is the enemy. And, you know, I look at it and just, you know, thank God that that he has rescued us from this darkness. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us or allowed us to be in relationship with the Son.
Amen.
When we look at the power, the characteristics of it, when we think about the characteristics of darkness, you know, we look at sin, we look at misery, we look at death, we look at error in our lives, and all these things are considered darkness. That is darkness. But God has rescued us from that. And that's how I see that scripture. It's a question, who has delivered us from the power of darkness? That's a question that is asking, do we realize how God has rescued us? When I look about the world that we live in and all the things that we go through, you know, in life, that God has just rescued us from, prevented us from falling into error. But when I see the word who, that's a question. asking, do you know? Do we know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we were talking earlier in terms of, you know, rejoicing. You know, we should always be rejoicing, you know, that the praises should always be in our mouth, in season and out of season. You know, just recognizing that, yes, I do know who my Redeemer is. Yes, I do know that God has rescued me from the darkness. Yes, I do know that God has taken me out of, you know, that old man or that old self and given me a new person. He's made me a new person. My thoughts are not the same. My walk is not the same. My actions are not the same. We're always going to be tempted by these things. But
because of
God has rescued us from going backwards. Going backwards. I think of Sodom and Gomorrah. The one comment I think about is, do not look back, because when you look back, that's where your heart is. That's where your heart is. The memories or the thoughts of the past, of how it used to be, those drinking days, or whatever we were doing in the past, when we changed our lives, those things are always going to haunt us. And God has rescued us from that.
Yep, through Christ. Mm-hmm.
But yes, we also always, we're always to give God the glory. One of the things I always, you know, I always say when I'm praying is, with God, I can do all things, and without him, I can do nothing.
Mm-hmm. I love this book of Colossians. It's such a wonderful chapter of a book of encouragement, especially chapter 1 and 13. But I want to, listeners, that if you have time, promise me that you'll go back and you'll read Colossians 1, all of chapter 1 from the beginning. And as you read it, you see how Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and he's talking about Timothy, and Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, and he's writing to the church, telling them how he's pleased with them and reminding them of who they are and what God has done for them. As you go through it, you'll see that he's encouraging them in faith, and he's reminding them of the hope that they have laid up, and that their promises have been in the truth of the gospel, and of their fruit, and what they've done, that they're bearing good fruit,
right.
And that it's God's grace that has given them the ability to know this truth. He talked about love and loving, love in the spirit. That's what, again, we go back to love and relationships and intimacy with one another, maintaining good, healthy relationships of integrity. But I do want to go further. He talks about that you might be filled with knowledge and filled in the spirit, that you should walk worthy of the Lord, that you should be fruitful of the word, the work that you do, that you are strengthened by the Almighty and his glorious power, that you should give thanks to the Father,
amen,
that you have been delivered and that you are redeemed. He talks about the forgiveness of sin. He reminds them that their fullness, that they should dwell in the fullness, and that they should be reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm,
that they have been reconciled. And he reminds them over and over again about the reconciliation just in chapter 1,
mm-hmm,
that they're grounded and settled in Christ, that their hope is in the gospel, that they should rejoice in the suffering and rejoice because they are becoming perfected and complete in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In verse 15, though, can I go, do you mind if I go back?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go back to verse 13 where we started, Brother John was talking. He said, for he has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of faith, and then the bodies into the kingdom of his dear Son, who bought our freedom with his blood and forgave us all our sins. You see, Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all. In fact, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth. The things we can see and the things we can't. The spirit world, with its kingdom, its rulers and authorities, all are made by Christ. For his own use and his own glory, he was before all else began, and it is his power that holds everything together. He is the head of the body made up of his people. That is his church, which he began, and he is the leader of all those who arise from the dead, so that he is the first in everything. For God wanted all of himself to be in his Son. And that's just a reminder to us about the Trinity, the God the Father, about the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It was through what his Son did that God cleared a path for everything to come, all things in heaven and earth, for Christ. Death on the cross has made peace with God for all by his blood. And there we go. That's the
yes, by his blood.
I'm so excited about this covenant.
By his blood.
The new covenant in Christ. The way was made. Isaiah. The crooked way was made straight. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My goodness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Peace was made through his blood. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just can't, I keep looking at the one, 13 in terms of who has delivered us. To me that just speaks of a powerful message to my spirit. Who has delivered us? Do we know who he is? When you look at things and you ask in our lives, do we know what our favorite TV or comic book heroes are? Do we know what our favorite TV show or our comic book heroes are as a child? Do we remember? To think about as a child, all those things that we used to idolize.
Mm-hmm.
As a child.
I remember running home to see Batman. That everyone would come home from school and you put on your play clothes. You had to wear play clothes and
yes.
play shoes. And so we put on our play clothes and we played until Batman came on. And it was like, be clear, because everybody's running the house to watch Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched the show, which was like a half an hour of Batman, and then all the kids would come back outside after dinner and pretty much reenact.
Memories.
The show that we just watched on Batman.
Mm-hmm. New York, do you remember of any... Your TV show as a child, or any type
Lord. Of we going way back now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I remember The Man from U.N.C.L.E. because I was in The Man from
U.N.C.L.E.
Oh
my goodness, you're really putting it, you're pulling it.
U.N.C.L.E. Fan Club, and I had a girl from U.N.C.L.E. too. And I had a badge in the secret code book. They sent you all that stuff, and I was so happy to be one of the girls from U.N.C.L.E. Agents.
I like that. And that's what we are, the agents of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Going
Amen.
Into the world.
Amen.
And our secret code book is the Bible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is great.
To understand once you break the code, it's easy to understand.
Come on now. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 But I think that's how God wants us to operate, too. We sometimes go through life, basically, as we are agents of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we go through undetected, and we do what
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is always a big, flamboyant sermon. It's
mm-hmm.
a little, too. Sometimes you're not seen.
Yes. Yes, we can hide in plain sight. And then when God gets ready, he'll pull us out and let us just give the word or do what we have to do. Heal the sick. Do whatever we have to do. Hiding in plain sight.
Amen.
Until it's time for us to be revealed.
Amen.
At different times, I'm talking about at different times, because at different times, praise God.
Amen.
I like that.
Hiding in plain sight. Mm-hmm.
In plain sight.
Yes.
Yeah.
They call that an oxymoron. Praise God.
Isn't it beautiful? Just think about that. Think about all those things and how as we were talking about the things as a child, you know, as you reminisce and just think about, you know, those things as a child.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us right now as a child and smiling and knowing who he is and what he's done from us. What he's done from us. That's where he wants us, to have that same joy, that same smile, that when we think about it, it's a pleasant thought, it's a happy thought, it's a joyful thought.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't it amazing how God makes things so simple? Just makes it so simple for us.
Amen.
We're moving on to our last scripture, which is Luke 17:20, and then we will go to 17:21. Luke
17:20. Well, this sermon is going to
Amen. Again, for those that are listening internet, we do thank you for joining in, and we pray that this has been a blessing to you, even though that you were not able to comment. But we just pray that, you know, we were a blessing to you with this discussion. And we do have we are New Beginnings, and we have this Bible discussion every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:30. And we do invite you to be a part of it, to be a blessing to us, as well as we being a blessing to you. We are the body of Christ, you know, and everything, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord.
Amen.
Luke 17:20.
One day the Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God begin?" Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God isn't ushered in with a visible sign. You won't be able to say it has begun here in this place or there in that part of the country, for the kingdom of God is within you."
Wow.
Another version says, "The kingdom of God is among you."
Mm-hmm.
Of the community again, relationship.
Yes, yes.
It's among us as we come together.
Right.
And praise the Lord. It's among us as we remind ourselves about the things of God, and that we encourage ourselves with one another with the word, as we raise up our children under the admonition of God's word that's among us, that continues to be among us as long as we carry the gospel, as long as we preach the gospel, as long as we carry ourselves like children of God, as long as we minister to one another the things that are the things that the Holy Spirit would have us to minister.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, to add on to that, when I look at the scripture, when the Pharisees was asking that, they were not demanding that Jesus tell them. They were not demanding. It was important to them because they, as Pharisees, they believed that at that time that they would be able to see the kingdom come. They would be able to see that. And Jesus was just letting them know that it was not anything that was going to be visible. It was going to be visible. It was things of 20, and then we have 21. It says, and the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried too long in the temple. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. You know, to me, I see, you know, there's talking about the people that are waiting. It's almost like a king that's walking around. You know, king or a queen or someone, you know, of great stature that's walking around, and they're watching just to see which way he's going to go. Just to see which way he's going to go. They're following his every movement. Following his every movement just to see what he's going to do and what he's going to, you know, which way he's going to go. But just observing, being attentive, believing that they're going to be able to see the kingdom of heaven.
And in the King James Version, if I may read it, it says, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So the moment we become saved, the kingdom of God is right there in us, right there, resting in us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And then, like my sister said, the community of the body of believers, relationship. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we're looking at the time, we are running out of time. We have to go before the sheep will end. We do thank each and every one of you for participating and being a part of this Bible study discussion. And, you know, God bless you. We also want to let you know that we love you, but God loves us. And so next time we speak, may God just, you know, be a blessing to you. You know, just be a blessing. Send out blessings, you know, that he just blesses you and blesses you and blesses you no matter where you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
And until we meet again, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We just give you praise. We honor you because you are the King of Kings and the Lord. And we meet. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our guidance.
Can look beyond the sky.